camera. Action, folks. Murray throws. Touchdown, Arizona. DeAndre Hopkins. Quarterback draw. Murray, can he get there? Touchdown. Perfect.
Welcome once again to the British Beard Gang Breakdown. Another season begins. That means a rather large episode awaits for us. Should we just get on with it then? I'm Tom. He's Callum. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the 2022 season, everyone. This is a very exciting time. We've got a brand new season, a brand new slate for the Cardinals. I guess we've got new goals, new aspirations, and quite a lot of new players as well for the team. Everything's new, everything's exciting.
And you're glossing over the fact that we've got a brand new theme tune as well, finally.
And the brand new theme tune, pretty high octane. I like it. I like it a lot.
It's just Gus Johnson, basically. So what more can you ask for?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's precisely the high octane, high energy stuff I'm talking about. Brand new. And we're back. We're back for the 2022 season. It's episode 142 of the British Bird Gang Breakdown. And I guess we better, as we have done for 141 episodes before, just get straight into the news.
I mean, a few of the earlier episodes, I think we had a different like way around doing things. But yeah, let's kick off with the news because we've got a few things to talk about this week.
And first off, but hardly least, Jalen Thompson signed an extension. So he's going to be with us for another 3 years. Is that right?
Yeah, he signed a $40 million contract with $25 million guaranteed. Not bad, really, for a former fifth round selection in the NFL supplementary draft.
Yep. Getting in onto the 53-man roster already, been a decent contributor to the team in the past few years as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those players who, I mean, like his first couple of years, he was hit with a couple of injuries, which obviously limited his time on the field. But past couple of years, he's looked really healthy. And, you know, last year, he was just really, really good. And people started to take a bit of notice of him.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he's definitely one of the players that I would put in the category of not mentioned much on this podcast, which I think, you know, it can be a negative. You know, maybe you're not out there shining, you're not winning player of the game, you're not making the enormous plays, but also, more importantly, you're not causing problems and you're not creating issues, which means you're out there doing your job, essentially.
I think rather impressively is a stat that I think is correct, but I didn't actually check if it is actually real, but the fact that he is now the only former supplementary draft selection currently on an NFL 53-man roster.
I could totally believe that, to be honest. I mean, the supplementary draft is mostly used to pick up people for your practice squad and you know, very outside chance prospects. And given that it's been, you know, a good couple of years since he joined in as well, I think the fact that he's managed to stay around is testament to how good a player he is anyway.
Yeah, and obviously we have him and Buda Baker now tied up for several years, you know, in that backfield, you know. That's quite a nice thing to have to build around, isn't it?
Well, I think it's big stability, especially in a team which still, after this offseason, and as I feel like I've been talking about for very near a decade now, still has issues with cornerback. I think, you know, if you can have stability, at least for a couple of years at that safety position in that backfield, then that's at least something to know how you're going to build your corners around.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, the Cardinals defense is one of them which needs like young playmakers as it is. So, you know, Jalen Thompson, he's made a couple of plays hopefully this year and the next few years we'll see him make even more.
Yeah, and I think that this kind of vote of confidence that we've seen is exactly the right type of thing to get him in and get him playing and producing in a way that is to the fullest of his potential, right? This is really kind of arguably the high end of his career right now, this 3 years that we've got him locked up. And personally, I'm quite excited to see how it all turns out.
Well, I suppose as well, you know, you say about a vote of confidence in him. Speaking of like voting, the Cardinals, like probably about an hour or so ago, announced their captains for the 2022 season, and his name was amongst them.
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, I can see that. What are the other captains? Do you have the list?
I do. I tweeted it out about an hour ago, so I've just opened up Twitter to rehash content once again. So
for the morning crowd.
Yeah, so we've got Kyler Murray. Again, you know, he's not a leader, but yes, the team voted him to be a captain, so make of that what you will. You've got James Conner, Rodney Hudson, DJ Humphreys, JJ Watt, Dennis Gardeck, Buda Baker, and of course, Jalen Thompson.
I would say there's no surprising names then among that.
No, exactly, but I mean, I suppose surprising is the fact there's no, like, Andy Lee or Matt Prater. You know, the two veterans. Yeah,
the veterans that are out there. But I think also, you know, like there's a certain amount of a captain's duties which are kind of almost pastoral, you know, in kind of knowing and being able to be one of the guys. And I wonder if Andy Lee and Matt Prater are almost in that sense that bit too old to be really effective as a captain.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose they just miss out on having that patch on the jersey, don't they? I suppose they don't care that much.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think especially if you're out there as a kicker or a punter or whatever, you're probably pretty chill with just going in and taking your paycheck and not taking too much slack.
Should we move on to our next piece of news? Because, you know, this is one that's, again, it's concerning, I suppose, given like the depth of the position, but obviously could have been a lot worse than what it was.
Absolutely. Like, it's definitely a, you know, a serious story in some ways, but you have written an excellent headline for it, so I'll let you read it out yourself.
So I can be the one that takes the flak when people are offended, right?
Precisely, yeah, precisely.
Yeah. So we've got Antonio Hamilton's kitchen nightmares.
That's pretty good. You know, a good title for it, but unfortunate injury. Again, like, you can kind of laugh about it in hindsight. Now that we know that everyone's okay, but Antonio Hamilton managed to spill hot oil upon himself, which is the reason that we didn't see him for a couple weeks there. Got some nasty burns, I believe like second degree burns on his feet, but is essentially put on IR for that, which means we won't see him till at least week four, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was a little bit more than that.
Well, actually, I think I saw on Twitter like last night he was like 90% cleared, so
okay,
you know, they're probably just annoyed really now that it's going to be 4 weeks without seeing him when he could probably be back in like two at least. But yeah, these are the rules, I suppose.
Putting someone on IR makes a lot of sense as well, to be fair. And, you know, if it means that he comes back fully healthy rather than ginger, I'll take it.
Yeah, and I suppose the thing as well with IR, like you say, it opens up that roster spot for someone else to come onto the team, which it did in this instance, because I think it was Christian Matthew, the seventh round pick out of Valdosta State, who came up to the roster in his place.
In his absence, yeah. I mean, it's not a position that we have a huge amount of depth in, as you said, so... you know, it's going to bring up someone who is relatively unproven.
Well, I mean, the depth in that position was added to in this offseason, but we'll talk about that shortly because, you know, we've got a whole 53-man roster to talk about. Why talk about the trades now?
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about them then.
Let's talk about the 53-man roster in its totality. But on the way to getting there... there was a couple of preseason games that needed to be played. I don't really have much to say about the games themselves. They were preseason games. There was a lot of names that you wouldn't know. We missed out almost entirely on a lot of the starters. There was no Kyler Murray, for example, and generally a lot of the starters weren't making many appearances. Cardinals went 1-2.
Yeah, I think it was 1-2, yeah, because, I mean, I only watched two of the three games because I wasn't getting up at 1 o'clock to watch them play Baltimore.
Yeah, just as well after the score.
I mean, to be fair, I would have seen Kyler Murray be like a head coach, so that would have been a bonus. But again, work the day after would not have been fun. So I said no.
And, you know, we still have 17 games and hopefully more after that to do between now and February.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you say, there wasn't many starters. I think we saw Zaven Collins a bit, and we saw like Marco Wilson a bit, and we saw a couple of new faces getting like to grips with the team.
Yeah.
But apart from that, you know, There was no Kyle Murray. There was no DeAndre Hopkins. There was no James Conner.
No JJ Watt.
There was no Byron Murphy. Yeah, no JJ Watt. No Zach Allen. No Isaiah Simmons. You know.
Yeah, not many of your favorite faces out on the field, which is perfectly understandable. You know, normally you expect to see a few of them, you know, in the second half of game two or thereabouts. But Clef chose to keep them on the bench. And I don't know whether that was, you know, something that was done in consultation with players. Maybe they were given the choice, like, do you want to go out and play a bit? But I think far more likely it was a case of, let's just not let anyone get out there and get injured.
And then we see the injury report that came out today and, like, yeah, why did that happen?
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that later because, you know, there's a lot to go through in this episode.
There is, yeah. Should we just go straight on to talk about the 53-man roster? You know, preseason be damned. Preseason is over and real football is due to happen pretty soon, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could mention Andy Isabella, you know, how amazing he was in preseason, but I suppose we can wait till we talk about the wide receivers, seems he is on the 53-man roster.
Much to some people's chagrin.
Sod them. We're members of the Andy Isabella fan club here.
Exactly, and we have been since for a few years now as well, so nobody can accuse us of jumping on the bandwagon, right?
There's still plenty of room on the bandwagon.
There's still plenty of room on the Andy Isabella bandwagon. Please feel free to join us at any given time.
But yeah, the 53-man roster, I mean, even now I've wrote them all down, and there's still been changes anyway because, you know, injuries, all that sort of thing. So
yeah, these things shift about. They're dynamic, but we can talk through them anyway. Let's start with one of the least surprising quarterback, Kyler and Colt.
You say that. I need to interrupt here because obviously there was a news today that Colt McCoy has gone onto IR with a calf injury, I think. So he's missing for the first 4 weeks of the season.
That's very true, actually. Which, once again, you hope that you don't have to call up on your backup quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that does put Trace McSorley onto the 53-man roster. So he's QB2 behind Kyler Murray. And they've also brought Jarrett Garantano back to the practice squad, who was like the fourth string guy who played quite a bit in preseason.
Yeah, a bit of shuffling there in that sense, but the roster as named with Colt McCoy, not really surprising. Bringing Trace back up just now, again, hopefully he's not needed, right? Especially in the first 4 weeks of the season. Even if the Cardinals are winning or losing by a significant margin, you still hope that they've got Kyler out there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with, like, obviously Kyler Murray's going to be the top guy instantly, obviously. But, I mean, you could have made a good argument for them to keep all three quarterbacks on the 53-man roster anyway, but I suppose numbers elsewhere meant they could only keep two.
I think given the rules that you have these days around injury lists and things like that, it makes it less necessary to have a QB3 on the books any given week, especially given that there's rules around emergency quarterbacks if you get two quarterback injuries during a game.
Yeah, and I think the thing as well with that is, say, like he was on the practice squad, if a team did want to approach him and like try to sign him to their active roster, we would have had the opportunity to, I suppose, bring him back onto ours instead.
Exactly, yeah. I think these days, you know, you've not necessarily got a huge amount of disadvantage to keeping quarterbacks, especially on the practice squad rather than on the 53-man roster.
And obviously, yeah, like you say, you know, we just hope really more than anything, Kyler Murray is going to be healthy throughout the whole season and, you know,
yeah,
and putting an MVP caliber, like, numbers.
Exactly. I mean, look at what happened last season, right? Like, we got away with it a couple times with Colt McCoy under center, but really the team was playing at its best when all of the starters were at their healthiest in the first 8 or 9 games or whatever it was. And hopefully there's no need to see Trace or Colt or anyone else for that matter at quarterback.
Unless it's like in the last like few seconds of the game and it's like taking kneel downs because Kyle is like you're too much, being too much of a diva on the sidelines, but I'm kneeling down, it'll ruin my rushing numbers.
He's moving off to his complete his mandatory studying.
Exactly. May as well get a head start on it, you know, see how good he did in that game. So obviously warrant them bringing in a backup.
I don't think I've got much else to say in the subject of the quarterbacks on the roster. It's nice to have security, I guess, insofar as like this is our fourth year going in with Kyler under center, and it's nice to have the same name there, you know, rather than the couple of years when we were up in the air with that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like some stability in the organization for once. You know, absolutely. Some people don't seem to like it, but you know, it is what it is.
Listen, I think we could have Tom Brady in there, and not just that, but Tom Brady of 5-10 years ago when he was at his best and at his stablest, and there would still be people complaining about it on Twitter.
Do you think we could have actually had Tom Brady once upon a time, but not to be?
Yeah, there was chat about it, but still.
There was photoshops and everything as well.
I remember that. But still, our quarterbacks are set for going into the year. Next up, remaining on offense, we've got running backs with James Conner taking the lead, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, and there's also Eno Benjamin, Keontae Ingram, Jonathan Ward, and Darrell Williams, meaning the Cardinals keeping five on the active roster for the time being, at least.
Yeah, I think obviously when you're talking about Jonathan Ward and Darrell Williams, you're talking guys who are being kept on in special teams capacities as well. Eno Benjamin, I could see sharing some snaps with James Conner, but I get the feeling that going into this year, James Conner's really kind of set to be taking over as the running back rather than one member of a committee.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was pretty much the main guy last year, wasn't he? I mean, you had Chase Edmonds, and obviously... Well,
Chase Edmonds was taking a lot of the open field carries, whereas... James Conner was taking the kind of goal line and red zone stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, he excelled at that, didn't he? With like 18 touchdowns in total last year.
Yeah. But we also saw him after Edmonds got, Chase got injured, that we saw him take some open field carries and basically carry entire games by himself as well. And he did just fine at that. You know, hopefully, if he can continue that, I think he might be up for, you know, award territory this year.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, we didn't see much of Darrell Williams in preseason. I think he had like 2 or 3 carries throughout the whole 3 games. So people were wondering if maybe that means he's like going to be cut, or maybe it was the fact like you see him as a starter, or at least like someone who's going to be contributing a lot. So obviously, wrap him up in cotton wool like they have like the other stars.
Yeah, well, it kind of makes sense, but, you know, I think it was a shame that we didn't see him more in preseason. You know, a young guy like that, new to the team and everything, it's good to see him. It would be good to see him come in and get reps, but equally, if they're not, you know, first team reps, then kind of what's the point?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, Jonathan Ward, he's like good for special teams, Keontae Ingram. He showed up quite a bit in preseason, so, you know.
Well, someone had to, you know.
Well, yeah, someone had to make the carries because obviously no one else was going to in these games.
Yeah, but overall, I think it's a fairly deep running back room. It's probably not our best in recent years, but again, fronted by James Conner, provided he can stay healthy, that's a lot of good running potential right there.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, wide receivers is another room where we've got quite a bit of talent, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, AJ Green returning, but this time supplemented by Hollywood Brown, who has impressed in camp and things like that as well.
And also, yes, previous with Kyler Murray from their time at Oklahoma.
Yeah, there's a bit of an Oklahoma reunion happening kind of throughout the team, actually.
Yeah. We've got a few to talk about later with that as well. But obviously, they also joined by Rondale Moore, Antoine Wesley, Andy Isabella, and Greg Dortch, two pretty much standout players from preseason, if you call them that.
Yeah, Andy Isabella, obviously, a fan favourite.
Not to everyone.
Yeah, well, to these two fans, to 100% of this podcast, a fan favourite. Andy Isabella played really well in preseason, definitely earned his spot on the roster. Greg Dortch had some really good highlight moments as well. Again, doubt we will see either of them play much throughout the regular games and the regular season, injuries dependent, but great backups, great special teams players at least, and at least with Nook suspended for now. Do you know, can you remember how long his suspension is?
He's got 6 games, so he's not back until the New Orleans game, week 7. Yeah.
Which realistically means it's going to be like 8 or 9 games before he's playing his best. You know, maybe we will see a few more of these guys rotated in and out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone's excited to see Hollywood Brown, and I'm excited to see if we have like a Gus Johnson cold game, just so we can hear him scream Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like he did in our intro.
Like he did in our intro, which you can listen to at any time, provided you subscribe to the podcast on, I think we're on pretty much every podcatcher that you can get these days.
We are, yeah, but the plugs for those will come later, as always.
Indeed. Much more to say about the wide receiver room this year?
No, just mean, obviously, we want to see more Rondale Moore. We want to see more Andy Isabella. We want to see AJ Green remember how to turn around, you know?
Yeah.
What more do we want?
I think my main comment this year is going into it with Nook serving his suspension, I think it potentially provides a really excellent platform for Hollywood Brown to like really kind of make a name for himself before he returns. So that it's like, you know, it's some lower stakes football. He's like at least guaranteed number two guy, possibly being able to be a number one target at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the wide receivers where they'll be catching balls from Kyler, because, you know, we've got a pretty good tight end room going into the 2022 season.
Yeah, of course. Obviously headlined by Zach Ertz, who's returning after an excellent season. But brought back another couple guys as well.
Yeah, we've got Max Williams back. I think he's actually started practicing this week, so, you know, slim chance he may be able to play on Sunday. And, of course, he did draft a guy called Trey McBride in the 2nd round of the draft. And with, obviously, other transactions, they have brought a 4th tight end in, Steven Anderson, who was with the team in preseason, formerly of the Chargers, I think.
Yes, he was with the Chargers before. I remember that coming in, but... yeah, I mean, Max Williams in particular, I think it'll be really nice to see him back. He had a great 5 or 6 games before his knee was just blown out last year. And it was a real shame to see him sitting at home giving out, what was it he called them, the Max Effort Awards or something like that?
To the Max, I think it was.
Wasn't it? To the Max Awards, that was the ones, which was like, it was really nice. And I think he's got a great personality, but I also want to see him out there playing and being healthy again. So real feel-good story to have him back on the roster. And yeah, Trey McBride, great to see him come through. Again, I think we might be seeing a bit of a shift in the types of plays that are called by the Cardinals, and I wouldn't be surprised to see more two tight end sets this year, possibly with Kyler even under center, as shocking as that would be.
It doesn't sound like Cliff Kingsbury if we change coaches over off season.
Yeah, Ron Wolfley is now the coach. No. I think there was a bit of a sort of shine of that in practice. And it could be all smoke and mirrors, but I don't know. I think under center, couple tight end sets, a bit of smoke and mirrors, a bit of you know, passing only play. Yeah, I could see it. So especially with 4 tight ends coming in on the roster, big potential for that.
Yeah, and of course, guys like Zach Ertz will step up when DeAndre Hopkins is out as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Which will be really important as well. Having like a safe pair of hands to dump to over the middle, it really can't be underestimated, especially when you're a guy like Kyler Murray, who is probably going to be dropping back and probably going to be under quite a lot of pressure. Although hopefully our offensive line will have something to say about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to already try and like downplay the efforts of the big men.
No. Let's see how they get on with it. But offensive line, we've got returning of DJ Humphreys, who signed a historic contract in the offseason. Justin Pugh, Rodney Hudson, Aaron Hernandez, Kevin Beecham. We've also got Josh Jones, Sean Harlow. I haven't forgotten how to pronounce this name again. Lycidas?
Lycidas
Smith, and Cody Ford.
Did you say Aaron Hernandez?
Did I say Aaron Hernandez?
You did.
Oh, no. Okay, right.
I can first confirm off, it is not Aaron Hernandez.
First off, I would like to confirm that it is not Aaron Hernandez that is playing.
It's Will Hernandez.
Yeah, and secondly, I would like to apologize to Will Hernandez, his family, his fans, and generally everyone who's listening, because that was a bad slip.
I was thinking of actually typing that in to see if anyone would read it out, but it looks like I didn't need to.
I don't know what it was. It was just okay. Anyway, Will Hernandez is playing for us on the offensive line. Aaron Hernandez is definitely not. But yeah, I think obviously our big names there are still DJ Humphreys and Justin Pugh, Kelvin Beecham, obviously another one there. But tough off season for the offensive line, kind of.
I mean, what about the trade for Cody Ford, though? I mean, yeah. You know, that was pretty much a bargain, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, hugely. It's the second offseason in a row that we've had an offensive line bargain.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he's another, like you said before, there's an Oklahoma connection going on with Kyle and Hollywood. It just so happened that Cody Ford was one of the offensive linemen in that big year.
Which is, you know, it can't be underestimated, I would say.
In fact, they were actually drafted all in the same draft class as well. So
they were, yeah. So guys who went through all of college together, they've worked together plenty. That kind of trust is not to be sniffed at.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, with Justin Pugh sort of struggling at the moment with an injury, we have had Cody Ford lining up in that left guard position, which is apparently where they see him long term. So I suppose it might be a case of Justin Pugh getting Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, I could see that. But hopefully we see some kind of good movement out of him kind of straight away in that left guard position. It's obviously a key position with a right-handed quarterback, and a huge one to have trust in if you're taking the snap yourself. Yeah, I mean, offensive line wise, I do still see this as something that was settled for about 6 months 2 years ago, and then we're back up in the air with it. I'd like to see this unit come together and coalesce, but I don't know. In my experience, after a shuffle like this, offensive lines take a while to settle down.
I mean, it's one of those things as well. Like, we've had the off season where both Justin Pugh and Rodney Hudson considered retirement, we're looking at probably, well, Hernandez is on a one-year contract, isn't he? Cody Ford, he's in a contract year. Kelvin Beecham's getting on. So, like, if this offensive line isn't, like, the only one really under contract is DJ Humphreys. So next year you could be looking at, like, at least three or four new starters on it.
Including at center, which is, you know, huge.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I mean, you could see as well, possibly, you know, DJ Humphreys and Cody Ford come out to be like a really good left side.
Yeah, that would be good. And then you bring other guys in because they kind of know that it's a good offensive line, at least on the left side, right?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, if Hernandez plays well, which he has done in preseason, and he's impressed in camp, so, you know, definite possibility there. And Josh Jones is like a guy you see at tackle more than guard going forward. So, you know, we could have Hernandez and Jones at like right guard, right tackle, which would mean then the only issue is who plays center.
Yeah, and who knows, maybe Rodney Hudson can stick around as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
he didn't seem to have any fitness issues last year, but I know that for offensive linemen they tend to compound, but you know, if he's playing in a good unit and they're winning games and maybe getting into the postseason reasonably well, maybe he decides to stick around a bit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he only considered retirement. He didn't actually go through with it. So, you know, maybe he does want to stick around a bit more. Should, like, this be a good year for the Cardinals?
I actually think it's a pretty healthy thing for every player to consider retirement in the offseason.
I mean, to be fair, they retire at any age these days, aren't they? Like, I'm sure there's guys like 26 who retired this offseason. It's like, oh, okay.
Fair enough, right? It's such a difficult physical sport and with so many long-term ramifications. And the thing is, even after a year with a rookie contract, you can make enough money to set yourself up, maybe not quite for life with a rookie contract, but you can set yourself up pretty well for a good couple of years if you're careful with it.
Yeah, exactly. Some of them don't actually need the football, do they? They may have like a really good degree that could get them like a really good job and, you know. You just think, you know, why bother wasting more of my life playing football?
Yeah, I mean, well, there's quite a few of the, especially offensive linemen, oddly, but like quite a few of the players even have like PhDs and stuff.
And then so it's the ones that you'd least suspect as well. It's like, you look really dumb, yet here you are with a PhD.
And it's always in like, you know, some deep corner of mathematics or something as well, right? It's never something, you know, simple.
Or they like go do like some rocket science or something. It's like,
oh. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we're getting quite distracted here because it's time to talk about defense overall, but defensive line in particular. We've got returners J.J. Watt, Zach Allen, Leki Fotu,
Rashard Lawrence, Michael Dogby, and Jonathan Ledbetter as well.
Yep.
Were you confused because I didn't put the first names?
I was confused because I lost my place in the document. I was just kind of going off of memory there. Anyway, yes, defensive line is looking pretty impressive, really.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the big question is how healthy can we keep J.J. Watt? And the answer is not really, because he's struggling with a calf injury at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, J.J. Watt's injury last year could arguably be one of the things that kind of precipitated the downfall of the team, because the couple of weeks when he was healthy were so clearly better on a particularly run defense metric, but you know, such a huge change from him being healthy to not healthy, and yeah, unfortunately, as you said, it looks like he's injured at the moment, although I believe he's still expected to start.
I mean, he's Cliff Kingsbury's favorite words. He is day-to-day.
Day-to-day. So who knows, really. But J.J. Watt aside, Zach Allen really coming into his own after a kind of breakthrough year in 2020 and then continuing that stretch along in 2021. Once again, I think this time a genuine fan favorite, and also really putting up good numbers. So hopefully he continues that streak.
And he's also going into contract year, so you know he's got all the more reason to want to impress.
Yeah, absolutely. And in my experience, with the Cardinals, in a contract year, they tend to put up an incredible performance and either price themselves out of becoming a Cardinal or staying a Cardinal, or that's the best performance you'll ever get out of them, and then they'll never be quite the same.
Which is what could happen to Andy Isabella this year, not my words.
Okay, I'll put that down as one of your predictions, which we'll get onto.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the other part of the group, you know, Ledbetter, he's just their experience. Rashard Lawrence, he's been a decent, solid player. Same with Dogby, same with Fotu. You know, they'll make mistakes, obviously, but, you know, they're big-bodied guys. They're just there to do what they need to do.
Yeah, I mean, defensive line, you know, especially these kind of, like, you know, the bigger guys, they tend to not be producing great highlight footage, obviously J.J. Watt aside. You know, we tend to not talk about Leki Fotu or Michael Dogby unless there's been a bit of an issue in a week, but once again, I think it's a pretty solid all-round unit for going into this year.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, well, they're the ones like distracting the offensive line. We hopefully will see some pass rush from the outside linebacker group, even if they are without like a big name like Chandler Jones.
Before we get on to outside linebacker, I have just one more thing to say about the defensive line, and that is run defense overall was one of the kind of heralds of our doom last year. It was one of the things that started the slow slide into poor results in the second half of the year. And this is the unit that's going to have to stop that. So all eyes on defensive line. But as you said, defensive line, when they're not defending a run, hopefully they can get some pass rush on the go there. And yes, indeed, no Chandler Jones, but Marcus Golden, Dennis Gardeck, Kimdichie, Cam Thomas, and more.
Kimdichie.
Did I say Kimdichie?
Yeah. Victor Dimukeji.
We're back. It's the first episode in a while, okay?
We'll let you off. People won't write in and complain, I'm sure.
Although, if you do feel the need to write in and complain, at least give us a review on the way.
Yeah, so we've got, obviously, as well as those, we've got Victor Dimukeji, Cam Thomas, Majay Sanders, and also Jesse Luketa was brought back after other transactions were made. So, you know, Golden's, I think he's getting on a bit now. He's like 29, 31, that sort of area.
We've been talking about him for a bit.
Yeah. And obviously, this is his second stint in Arizona. So it's a really young group, clearly.
It is overall, yeah. I think it's especially by Arizona standards.
I mean, can you win anything with kids? That's the big question, really.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, you know, take Dennis Gardeck, for instance. He's been, you know, around a medium amount of time. And when he's on, he is on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, he's had those moments and he's also been injured as well. So it's one of those things like, can he handle a bigger pass rush like workload, or is he just the guy who you put in there situationally?
Well, I think that's always the tricky thing, you know, like when you've had a big superstar come in and be playing this role for a while, the question is like, you know, they leave behind like a bit of a vacuum almost. And you do find that there is often players who've been there for a long time are able to come in and take that mantle up. And it's partially because they've had the talent all along, but they've always been kind of second in command. So the best pass rush opportunities go away from them rather than come to them. So, you know, if ever there was a year for one of this squad to have a breakout, this is the one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Dimukeji, he's a guy who, I mean, he was sparingly used last year in his rookie year, but he's looked pretty good in preseason. Same with Cam Thomas, you know, Majay Sanders. Like, his guy's like athleticism is like off the charts, and you know, on paper, he looks like he could be a really good player. But obviously, football's not played on paper, is it?
Football is not played on paper. Yeah, but I mean, I think ultimately, you know, this is a group that has a lot of chances to make good things happen this year, and hopefully this is the opportunity for that to come out. And once again, you know, I think the good thing about pass rush is that actually although success is measured in sacks aren't actually really what wins games. What wins games are rushed passes, you know, non-ideal passes in general, and then more and more opportunities for interceptions.
And also like forced fumbles as well, that sort of thing, you know exactly, Chandler Jones is really good at getting there.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you know, like everyone talks about Chandler Jones's sack count, but forced fumbles, etc., like that's really one of the more effective things they can actually do in a game.
Especially when obviously they're recovered by your team and then, you know, good field position.
Well, precisely, immediately
back in your hands.
Exactly. You know, a sack is great. A sack loses them yards. But it also is the time that they decide to, you know, change their strategy. Whereas if you get a forced fumble, you know, sometimes coaches think, well, that nearly worked. You know, maybe we just need a bit more luck or something like that.
I mean, obviously we say that they're an unproven group. We can look at the inside linebacker group. And again, you know, that's another one that's pretty inexperienced in the way.
Absolutely. But, you know, a couple guys who began to make moves for the Cardinals last year,
Yeah, they've got a few on the board this year. They've got Zaven Collins, of course, Isaiah Simmons, Nick Vigil came over from Minnesota, Tanner Vallejo, Zeke Turner, and a guy called Ben Neiman.
Neiman.
Yeah, I think they pronounced it Neiman in preseason, so I'll stick with that.
We'll go with that for now. But yeah, I mean, as you said, one of the more inexperienced groups, if not possibly the most inexperienced group. But Zaven Collins, we've seen produce some really good stuff. Isaiah Simmons has obviously been around a little bit longer. But yeah, Nick Vigil, Tanner Vallejo, Zeke Turner, all names that are known, at least to Cardinals fans. They've done stuff. They've been in there. They've been in the fray. It's also a group, I guess, that it's been a while since we've had any really, you know, stars at.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those players where, like, we're going to see him all over the field, which is why you've got a nice prediction for him later on in the episode.
Yeah.
It's like, where do you actually use Isaiah Simmons to get the best out of him? And still, we don't know what that is, but wherever you're going to use him, he's going to do something.
I always think it's a bit tricky with guys like Isaiah Simmons. You know, I think there's this romantic notion of having, you know, a bit of a jack of all trades that you can put in lots of different situations. You could have him line up in some weird positions and make it a really hard look for the offense to read. But I think ultimately when you play at such a high level as the NFL, it actually turns out to be really not. It turns out to be both a lot more simple and not as simple as that. You know, it turns out that actually it's a lot harder to get somebody up to NFL speed on multiple different positions. And I do think that we need to slowly find a home for Isaiah Simmons. And I think he's turning into much more of a linebacker, whether inside or out, than he is a safety these days.
I mean, I would prefer to see him at safety, but, you know, it is what it is.
I think I'd prefer to see him at safety, but I also don't want him in front of Budda Baker or Jalen Thompson in the depth chart. And, you know, I'd rather see him on the field than not as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. Maybe Vance Joseph has got some free safety looks in there. Where you can put all three of them in there.
That would be the ideal situation. You know, it's essentially still playing inside linebacker, but, like, is he going to drop back? Is he going to rush forward? Who knows?
He's technically a star backer, isn't he? I think that's what you've given him the name of.
Yeah, star backer.
And as well, he's got the green dot on his helmet this year, which means he's the one calling the plays for the defense on the field.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I suppose he's in such a central location apart from anything else.
And the thing is, though, he'll just make call. He'll, like, just change a call, won't he, to be like, I'm the one making the play this one.
Yeah. Well, that would
make sure he's in the play.
It'd be interesting to see whether green dotted players end up making more plays overall.
I don't think they do. I think it's just, you know, they're like the coach's eyes on the field, aren't they? That sort of thing.
Yeah, they're basically a loudspeaker.
And like you were saying, like, he could be a jack of all trades, but that could also lead to him being like a master of none of them.
Precisely, yeah. That's the worry with it. And especially, as I said, at the NFL level, you know, if you drop 10%, then all of a sudden people run all over you because they're all operating at 100, you know.
I think one of the other positions where there's quite a few question marks going into this season, you're looking at the cornerback group, aren't you?
Big time, yeah. Obviously, Byron Murphy and Marco Wilson were kind of our two main guys going through last year, but Christian Mathieu and Trayvon Mullen joined them in the depth chart, in a depth chart that's not as deep as I would like.
No, I mean, obviously we got those three, and of course you mentioned Trayvon Mullen. He's a guy who they brought in on a trade. Just on the day of the roster cutdowns?
I think, yeah, for it makes sense, right? Like, if you're looking at trying to build a roster, you need more cornerbacks than we have, really.
Yeah, I mean, he's a former second-round pick. I think it was only second-round pick, like, a couple of years ago from out of Clemson. So, you know, Isaiah Simmons from Clemson, DeAndre Hopkins is from Clemson, you know. Got a bit of a connection going on there as well.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that's the kind of thing that would help him feel at home. But I don't know. I'm not seeing him coming in as somebody who's playing many snaps this year.
I don't know. I reckon he'll play quite a bit, to be honest, just because we need him to.
Yeah, do you know what?
We've got any other options, have we?
Yeah, especially after Byron Murphy and Marco Wilson get gassed like in the second half of the season. Yeah. This is a group that I worry about, especially, to be honest, the worrying thing isn't so much the state of the group, it's how long this position has needed attention in the organization, and it just seems to be looked over every year.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things, it's like cornerback, like really, really good cornerbacks just don't grow on trees.
I think you could say arguably there's 10 good cornerbacks and like really good cornerbacks in the world, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that many. Even in the NFL, like there's only like a handful really who are like the elite guys.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Like really good ones. But like, again, it's one of those positions though, isn't it? Because the game's pretty much tailored to offense. So defense is always going to be on the back foot, especially like cornerbacks, because they're the ones who get called for pretty much everything they do.
Absolutely. And especially, you know, like the pipeline for cornerbacks is so broken as well, because anybody who's really good at playing cornerback in high school, for example, would be playing wide receiver. You know, that's what they're going to play in college and everything like that. You know, it's just you end up with a much less talented pool of, or at least athletically talented pool of guys, because everyone who's got the most athletic talent goes and plays on offense.
Yeah. And like, obviously it's one of the, you know, we just have to see what happens with it. Cause I suppose if the pass rush is good enough, then you don't have to have the best cornerbacks, do you? But if the pass rush isn't getting there, then the cornerbacks will just get torched game in, game out. And, you know, it's going to be like really, it'll be fun to watch Cardinals this year, but it'll also be really, really annoying, because it'll be like, you could score all these points, but look at how many they concede them as well. It's like...
Yeah, I mean, the everything that I look at with the way the Cardinals are constructed is that if they match up well with an offense, they're going to keep them scoring really low. But once they start getting scored on, I feel like it's going to be a bit of a train. Although I will say that there is definitely a bright spark in that regard in terms of the backfield with safety, because, you know, really, the at least if it's getting thrown into the middle, I have a lot of trust in these guys.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, safety, we've mentioned Buda Baker a lot on this podcast. We mentioned Jalen Thompson a lot on this podcast, this episode at least. Not much before then, but, you know, we're on the bandwagon now. And also Deontay Thompson and Charles Washington make the 53.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, it's, once again, you know, it's not as deep as I would like. I think there's obviously a big fall off after Buda and Jalen. But, you know, both of those really good, high quality, high caliber guys, you know, Buda, obviously Pro Bowler and everything like that. I think that's our closest to making up in the backfield at the moment. However worried we are about cornerbacks, there's always a really good safety line there.
I mean, it's one of those things as well. Obviously, we mentioned Isaiah Simmons' versatility. You know, maybe to see him as a safety. So, you know, that's technically five safeties on the roster.
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of versatility, the most I would want to see this year is probably him, you know, lining up as an inside linebacker, but dropping back as an extra safety. And I could see him making gains in that regard as well. But, yeah. I think anything that's headed off by Buda Baker like that, I can trust it for now, at least.
And last but not least on the 53-man roster, we've got the special teams guys.
Yep. Matt Prater and Andy Lee both return, with Brewer acting as our long snapper.
The keyest position in NFL football, obviously.
I mean, that being said, when long snaps go wrong...
Yeah, no, you definitely know about it if they go wrong, don't you? Like, yeah. That's how we remember guys like Cameron Kennedy. Wouldn't know about him otherwise than that.
Exactly. But, like, you know, when you talk about something like kicking for an extra point or a field goal, right? You know, those should be guaranteed points in today's NFL. And the amount of times that it goes wrong, that it's actually the long snapper's fault, not the kicker's fault, it happens more often than you think.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like we say, we got Matt Prater. He's a weapon from pretty much anywhere on the field.
Yeah.
Andy Lee, you know, possibly we could have replaced him this offseason, but he didn't. He's here for yet another year. He's carrying on that career.
Once again, hope we don't need him that much. I mean, definitely hope he doesn't win player of the game again.
I know if he does, you know, it just shows how terrible the game was, but we'll see. Hopefully it doesn't come to that, like you say.
But with the three of them, that rounds out the 53-man roster. Couple surprises there. Lots of returning names, obviously. Some weaknesses, some strengths. I think overall it points to a fun season to watch. We'll get on to how we think that they'll do in our predictions overall. But,
We should go a bit more light-hearted now, you know, like, we talk about real football. Let's talk about fantasy football because, you know, everyone loves fantasy football, especially when we talk about for like 20 minutes and only talk about our own teams. Who doesn't love that?
Absolutely. I think fantasy football is obviously a big part of it, part of it all. We've got the Dynasty League that we play every year as well. We've got the Bird Gang Bowl, which is now in its 10th year. I've had an interesting draft with the Bird Gang Bowl this year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones. Like, we've got less people than last year, but we're in bigger leagues, fewer leagues. So, you know, might be a bit tougher. But, I mean, it does mean we've got, like, some good names in there.
Yeah, which we'll have our annual cursing of the names, of course, through five leagues that everyone's organized into this year.
Yeah, and obviously someone will win a Bird Gang Bowl at the end of it.
Yeah, this is the second year that we're offering the literal Bird Gang Bowl, right?
Yeah. I mean, it might look different this year. Who knows? Might have to find someone different to make it. But I won't make it myself. Yeah.
I think you should. If you think Tom should make the bowl himself, at him on Twitter, at British Bird Gang, and let him know that he should go and sign up to some pottery classes.
I suppose I'm in the city of Stoke, so I suppose I'd find someone somewhere.
The potteries, it's very thematic, isn't it?
So how do you think your draft went in the... I suppose we could talk about the Dynasty League a little bit, because, you know, it's only us two in that one. But, you know, we had a bit of a trade going on. We had a couple of trades, didn't we, this year?
There was a lot of trading up and down of positions. I think one particular draft spot passed through four sets of hands before it finally got settled on.
Yeah, passed on like a common whore.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was overall it was a fine draft. I was picking sort of early, but so I didn't really take any particularly big names, but I feel like I rounded out my team a little bit, especially in the defensive positions. But nothing really to write home about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at my team now and, you know, I'm happy with it, but there's too many Qs next to it for week one.
Yeah. My team last year and the year I won particularly relied a lot on Russell Wilson, and I'm almost tempted to start him this year as a Denver quarterback.
I suppose you wouldn't feel dirty because you were cheering on a Seahawk, weren't you, Ben?
But I won anyway, and not anymore. I don't think anyone will be relying on any Seahawks in fantasy this year.
Good, because I haven't got one. Although you did draft one second overall, so.
I did. That's for the future, though. As for my Bird Gang Bowl year 10 team, the timing of the draft was getting buffeted about a bit, and I was also in a different time zone, so I missed the draft entirely. So I've got this year Justin Herbert as my quarterback. Dion Peoples-Jones is a good highlight. Jerry Jeudy. Yeah, Cordell Patterson.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a... I'm not sure what happened with that league, but, you know.
I think there were problems with sign-ups and getting people in and things like that, but...
I love that part of the year, definitely. All the time.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, let's do it earlier this year, and then it's like, we'll make it even later. I don't know. Someday we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I feel like there's always only ever one good week to draft for fantasy, and it's after the last preseason game and before the season actually starts.
Yeah. I mean, we've always had it traditionally on the last Sunday, and it seemed to have always worked well, but not this year. Well, yeah. Not for one league anyway. The other four, I think, went off without a hitch.
Everyone else went fine, but anyway, it's fine. I actually quite like sometimes getting a random drafted team, or at least, like, you know, a computer drafting the best available at every position, because it actually gives me, like, something to work on all season. You know, I spend a bit of time making trades or buying and selling and all that sort of stuff.
And if you lose it, you can always blame the computer.
Precisely, so. Yeah. That's the more important part of it.
It's basically win-win.
It's not my fault. Not my fault. But yeah, okay. Indeed, it's fantasy season again. We've got five leagues, and every year Tom and I go through the names of all of the teams, because we started out by picking our favorite name from each league, and then the people that we picked out as our favorite names then proceeded to lose spectacularly throughout the season. So that's left us with a nice little tradition now of cursing people for having such a good name, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, there's some really good names in this one. There's some which are repeated several times, but, you know.
Of course, yeah. What do you reckon? Should we go through each league and just pick out one or two of our favourites from each of them?
Yeah,
rather than reading out everyone?
No, I mean, we'll read them all out, because it might be the only mention that some of these teams get this year.
Fair enough. So, all right, let's start with League One then.
Yeah, League One, we've got Forgot About Trey, and Isabella's Last Stand, Baking with Buddha, Kyla the Creator, No Fuckheim Idea, Baby Don't Hurts Me, So Good It Hurts, D-Hop Skip and Jump, Murray Cliffmas, Cobra Kyler, Turn Down for What, and Full Wattage.
I mean, there's a few there that we have seen year in, year out that must be on some list of, you know, some web listicle somewhere of Cardinals ideas for fantasy football names. But I think this is the first time that I've ever seen somebody turn Keim into Fuckheim. So I'm going to go for No Fuckheim Idea as my favorite.
That was the one I was going to pick anyway. We can ignore my one, which is Forgot About Trey.
Perfectly cursed.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, we should actually curse No Fuckheim Idea, because I think the draft recap said that they're going to go through the season undefeated.
Oof, okay. Yeah, well, in that case.
It's our curse versus the draft recap, basically.
Well, the draft recap is also a pretty solid curse, usually, in my opinion, in my experience.
Yeah, I mean, that gave me quite a nice one. Like, I think I got 13-4, predicting me to finish third, so...
Okay.
I'll take it, even though it's not going to happen.
In League 2, we have You May Now Kiss the McBride, Darizona Cardinals, Murray Mints, McBride and Prejudice, Free D-Hop, Bidwill's B-Team, No Risk It, No Biscuit, Eno Stopping Us Now, Fades Like a Photograph, but it's spelled like Lecky Photo, Nook Skywalker, Beats by DeAndre, and Kyler the Creator. A couple of the names in there that I know who they are because they've had the same team name for some years.
Yes, Darren.
Yes, Darren. We all know who you are. But I think my favorite has to be Eno Stopping Us Now.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking that one. Because, like, I mean, You May Now Kiss the McBride's good. McBride and Prejudice is good, but it's there three times this year.
Yeah.
So literally 5% of the Bird Gang bottle is called McBride and Prejudice.
I think I generally like uniqueness and stuff as well. So I think as well, You May Now Kiss the McBride. Would it work better as You May Now Kiss McBride rather than the McBride? But, you know, I'm pulling at hairs now.
It might be a McDonald's sponsored wedding now, let's be honest.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I'm getting married next year, so maybe I should say that one to my fiance, see how I get on with it.
There'll be no wedding now, will there?
Yeah, there might be no wedding if I mention that one as well.
I heard that in the background.
Yeah. Caitlin's actually said, Caitlin.
Yes.
Come on live to the podcast.
Live to the podcast. Oh yeah. My God, my introduction.
Everyone, this is Caitlin. This is my fiance.
And this is what I put up with.
Yeah, Caitlin, what if we got our wedding sponsored by McDonald's so that we could have it said, you may now kiss the McBride?
What if that's really my name? Sounds quite Scottish.
It does sound quite Scottish.
That could be our last name. It is a Scottish last name.
It is a Scottish last name.
Are you just trying to be like a typical, is this going to be the first sponsorship of the podcast?
Possibly.
Our wedding.
Yes, our wedding.
Yeah.
Sponsored by our wedding. Okay.
Okay, the podcast can't afford it.
Tom says we can't afford it.
They can't afford us.
They can't afford us, yeah. Okay. Right. It's proven we're cursing. Eno stopping us now. Let's move on to League 3.
Yeah, League 3, we've got McBride of Frankenstein, Inglorious Bradford's, Study Break, Buddha's Bakery, My Ballsack Hurts, Kyla Biso Murray 22, Show Me the Murray, 10 Things I Prate About You, McCoy's Crisps, The Tiny Receivers, Good as Golden, and The Corpse McBride.
I mean, I've heard Ertz used as Hertz quite a few times. But My Ballsack Hurts is pretty great.
No, there's only one winner in this one.
All right, what are you going for?
10 Things I Prate About You. That's just genius.
And it's not like Prater's not been about for a while as well, to be fair.
Because I've never seen that before, and it's like, genius.
Yeah.
That has to be the one that cursed.
I'm on to that. I'm on to curse that one as well. League 4, we start off with the ever original Baking with Buddha. Kareem Punt. Excuse me.
Dying today.
Yeah. Back at the podcast. I'm going to start League 4 again. Okay. League 4, Baking with Buddha. Kareem Punt, the McCoy, McSorley, McMurrays, McBride and Prejudice, again, Hit 'em Where It Hurts, Free Hop, Pimp My McBride, Forgot a Buddha, Injured Reservers, the Vigilantes, Golden Brown, and Steve Kimes' Draft Dartboard. Once again, a few names that I know exactly who they must be.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. I mean that one, is it Forget a Buddha? I think it's about to be like, is it like, Italian, like forget about it.
Yeah, you're right.
I think I'm assuming that's it, but it could be completely wrong. But yeah, there's a few not good ones in here. I mean, like McBride and Prejudice, Jane Austen fans are in the building again.
Yep, once again, I think McBride and Prejudice is kind of fun, but again, it's too many people went for it. Forget about it is pretty good.
Pimp My McBride is good, as long as they're referring, obviously, to the American version and not the one fronted by Tim Westwood, the pedo.
Yeah. I imagine it's meant to be standard, good old-fashioned, proper MTV Zone Pimp My Ride. I think there's... Do you know what? For the first time in a long time, there might be nothing here that's worth a curse.
Should we just curse them all just for being bad?
Oh, yeah, great. Okay, yeah, perfect. Rather than nobody getting cursed, everyone gets cursed. I love it. Finishing with League 5. Take it away, Tom.
I will do, but the cat wants to go out.
Fair enough.
Okay, so League 5, we've got The Kyla Inside Me, My Ballsack Hurts, Buddha Woulda Shudder, Kime's Criminal Crew, Kyla's Study Corner, Kyla's Esports Team, The Cliff Divers, Kyla's Cardinals, McBride and Prejudice, Shudder Woulda Buddha, So Good It Hurts, and Buddha Era. God's sake, another one.
So I'm in this one as Kyler's esports team, and I do quite enjoy the fact that my week one matchup as Kyler's esports team is versus Kyler's study corner. Which one will win out, the video games addiction or actually studying for the game?
It's kind of like his real life, like, yeah, weighing up things.
It's the same dilemma that happens to Kyler every Saturday.
Study, esports, which one? I mean, have you noticed as well, we've got Shudder Woulda Buddha We've also got Buddha Woulda Shoulda.
Oh, so we do. Yeah. That's going to be a hell of a matchup when it happens.
As long as it does happen. Because I mean, I'm sure it will because, you know, there's plenty of weeks for it to happen.
I think I think everyone plays everyone at least once. It's whether you play somebody twice that it matters.
Cam's criminal crew is, you know, we shouldn't really like.
I'm not sure I like the fact that it's spelled with all K's, to be honest.
I know, some mad racist in that league. Hopefully they lose.
Yeah.
Every game.
Or maybe they're just ignorant. Who knows? I think I want to give it to Kyler Study Corner, to be honest, because out of everyone who entered, that's the only person who mentioned Kyler's study clause, which was arguably the biggest story of the offseason.
I mean, I've seen other ones called, like, Kyler's study buddies, which I suppose, you know, that also works.
Yeah, but there's none in the Bird Gang.
None in the Bird Gang ball. I mean, I was considering the Kyler one, but I was like, nah, let's go for Forget About Trey.
Forget About Trey is good, yeah.
I could bring that hashtag back as well, so that's possible. That's a good thing.
No, I think I'm going to executive decision it. I'm going to call it Kyler Study Corner, and I'm going to draw a line under another year of choosing our cursed team names.
But you only cursing them because they're your week one opponents, isn't it? So you can guarantee at least one win.
Exactly, yeah. I want to get that like one win out of the way and then just not have a winless season.
See, it's all coming together. You know, your plan.
Yeah, exactly. Well, once again, we're back at the stage of starting another season and having to talk about the season as a whole. Now, in previous years, we've talked about every individual game coming up and things like that, which, you know, maybe is a good thing to talk about once the season actually gets going. But actually, one of the best things that we did in previous years, and definitely a big hit from last year, is we did a little game called Tom versus Callum versus the World, where both Tom and I made some predictions based on individual players and based on the team as a whole. And we then put it out to everyone that's listening. We put it out to Twitter and things like that to see how we would get on versus the world. So last year, Tom beat me, but I also beat the world. This year, who knows how the cards are going to fall.
Nice pun there as well.
Thank you. Cardio,
but as long as the Cardinals don't actually fall.
Yeah, I really hope that... Well, unless they fall face first into a Super Bowl win somehow.
You can fall face first into all the confetti, can't they, after the game.
Exactly, yeah.
That's what we mean, yeah. But yeah, so obviously we've got different categories this year because we like to mix it up a bit. We've got Kyler Murray stats, James Conner, Hollywood Brown. We've got a sack one. We've got a defensive player. We've got a season record. Like, you know, go crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we'll get some things that are pretty tricky to predict, and we've got some numbers that are a bit more realistic. We'll start off and go through the Kyler Murray records. We're talking about passing yards. Both of us have predicted Kyler Murray to get at or around 4,000 passing yards. Tom, you've gone slightly higher than me. You've said 4,289, whereas I've gone for a nice round 4,000.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going, you know, Kyle's just got to hurl it down the field. For Marquise Brown, for Andy Isabella, Greg Dortch, Hopkins, it's everyone. Hopefully not the opposition.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get onto that in a minute. But yeah, I think 4,289 is not a bad prediction. Do you have his numbers from last year at all?
I mean, he did have a couple of games out injured, didn't he? So he that did. Sort of skews the statistics, but, you know.
No, I think, we've both kind of gone for around about 4,000 because ultimately... The offense is the strong point of this team, and if they're going to do well, the passing game has to be strong. It has to be clear. And again, we've got the talent at wide receiver. We've got Kyler. There's no reason it shouldn't be a pass fest.
Yeah, well, last year he had 3,787, 24,010,
and that was after him missing quite a few games, as you said.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've gone for 33 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and the longest pass of 72 yards.
Meanwhile, I've gone for 35 touchdowns with 15 interceptions and 99 as the longest pass. So slightly more touchdowns and slightly more interceptions. And that for me was based on James Conner taking over the mantle of sole running back rather than purely a red zone specialist.
Yeah, and obviously a 99-yard pass. Hopefully it does result in a touchdown at the end. But again, you know, if that starts on the 1 yard line, it could go horribly wrong. But yeah. Fortunately, in your mind scenario, it doesn't.
Well, it happens to a couple players every year, right? There's a couple of people who take it for 99 yards every so often. So, you know, why not?
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's hopefully. And obviously, one of the other big weapons of Kyler Murray is the fact that he uses his legs. So, I mean, he was down again last year. But I've gone for 419 yards with 6 rushing touchdowns.
I've gone for 300 yards with 5 rushing touchdowns. As you said, he was down a bit last year. And kind of because of that, I could see them limiting the amount that they want to use him in the run game, or at least being smarter about it. Then again, I'm pretty sure I said that same thing last year and he still smashed it despite missing games.
Well, I mean, last year he had 4-2-3 with 5 touchdowns. So yeah. We'd have been pretty close. Well, I mean, I'd have been pretty close.
You'd have been pretty close, yeah.
I mean, that's not gone into like any sort of... I just picked a random number out of the air. There's no thought process whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, it's around about what you'd expect a good rushing quarterback to get.
Yeah, but you're not going to see him like rush for 1,000 yards or something like that, are you?
No, I think I'd be worried if he was rushing for 1,000 yards. That's a hell of a lot more chance to get injured.
Yeah, and only running backs do that, don't they? Like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, well, precisely, yeah. Speaking of running backs that are not actually real quarterbacks, but like an actual running back. James Conner, we predicted rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, we're just assuming he's going to be a dual threat this year with the loss of Chase Edmonds.
I don't see why he wouldn't be receiving at least a couple passes.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously, we saw last year he made quite a few nice one-handed catches. So he's definitely got that in his repertoire.
He did, yeah. And actually, so what I've gone for is I've gone for 900 rushing yards with 16 rushing touchdowns, which is a lot, but only 200 receiving yards and 1 receiving touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with all the weapons Kyler Murray's got around him, like James Conner might be like 4th, 5th option, so I could see him not getting that many touchdowns. So.
Yeah, I think it depends on how many he has actually like been designed for, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, he may not actually do that much at all, because, like we say, you know, there's that many people who can make plays on the offense. He might be like far down the pecking order.
Well, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of people who can make plays, Hollywood Brown, new addition to the team. How many receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns do you think he can go for?
I've gone for 64 with 8 touchdowns and 1,089 receiving yards.
Whereas I've gone for slightly fewer receptions and receiving yards with 54 and 900 apiece, but quite a few more receiving touchdowns with 12, based on maybe him being a bit of a red zone threat.
Well, I mean, I don't think it'd be that. It'd just be like, he's, you know, he's obviously had good chemistry with Kyler Murray in the past, hasn't he? So
he has, yeah.
And, you know, obviously he's got speed to burn, so hopefully we'll see a lot of those sort of passes. You know, like Kyler just hurls it down the field and it's like,
I mean,
Hollywood Brown's like running onto them.
Those would be more exciting to watch for sure. But I reckon, I don't know, he's a bit older, a bit wiser. Use him inside the 30, you know, get some good production. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, he's not that big of a receiver, though, is he? Again, very like, who true. Is on the Cardinals roster?
Well, yeah, exactly. We're really missing out on anybody who's big and tall with big hands ever since our Larry left.
And also because someone got pepped for like having the tiniest minute bit of thing in his blood or whatever it was.
Let's not get into that one because that's a long conversation right there.
Exactly, yeah, the bloody podcast as long as it is. Yeah. You don't need anything more.
Absolutely not. Who do you think is going to get more sacks in the year between Golden and Gardeck?
I mean, I can't see them like getting double-digit sacks either of them, so I've gone 7-6 to Marcus Golden.
Yeah, I've also got Golden getting more, but I've got the balance slightly more in his favour with 9-4. I think our years of expecting a massive sack fest between J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones is obviously over for obvious reasons, but I'd still like to see a fair amount of production between the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, we probably cursed both of them last year, didn't we, because Chandler Jones had his 5-sack game and then nothing the rest of the year. JJ Watt like got injured, so
yeah, he had good production up until the point he got injured, and then that was it. Hopefully no cursing anybody else. In addition to the sack race, this year's sack race, we've chosen to focus in on Isaiah Simmons because, as we spoke about earlier, he is certainly a player who might be moving about the field a bit. So we've actually tried to predict his total tackles as well as his sacks, tackles for loss, forced fumbles and fumble recoveries together, and interceptions.
I mean, I'm sure they won't confuse people at all whatsoever when they put in their predictions, but never mind. They'll probably make it all weird, won't they? You'll have like 24 fumbles or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, personally, I've gone for 90 total tackles, with 3 of them being sacks, 17 being tackles for loss, a combined forced fumbles and fumble recovery of 6, and 3 interceptions.
Whereas I've got for 112 total tackles, 4 sacks, 14 TFLs, 5 FFs and FRs combined, and 3 interceptions.
So basically, you've got him making more tackles overall throughout the field, but a lower percentage of them being, you know, sacks and behind the line of scrimmage, really.
I clearly believe in him more than you.
In some ways, yeah.
That's all I've got to say. And hopefully that is rewarded. But obviously, we want to see more from Zaven Collins as well, don't we? So perhaps we could have put him on.
Absolutely. I mean, hopefully by the end of the season, we'll be talking about both of them having, you know, particularly exciting games and particularly exciting records.
And it could be like 50-50 between them two for Defensive Player of the Year or something. But it probably won't be, because Buda Baker exists.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And Jalen Thompson. Let's not forget him.
And they're more likely to make exciting, dynamic plays every week than people who are playing inside linebacker and outside linebacker and all that. But finally, our final prediction that we've made is the season record, which is one that neither of us have been traditionally very good at. Out of 17 games this season, what's your prediction for wins and losses, Tom?
I mean, I really don't know where to put this, because it could be like 7 wins, it could be 8 wins, it could be 12. I've just gone for 10-7, just to be like,
I think
optimistic, I'd say.
Yeah, I think 10-7 is a bit optimistic as well. I've kind of gone a bit mental with it, actually. I've gone for 12-5, which I don't think is completely outside of the realms of possibility, especially if they start as hard as they did last year. But I really do believe that it could be anything from 12-5 all the way down to like 5-12, you know, or potentially even lower than that. I've got not a very good read on how good the team is this year.
Yeah, I mean, plus you've got like one hell of a schedule, haven't you? I mean, like,
yeah.
If we brought up the schedule now and I said to you, name those 12 games you're going to win, you wouldn't be able to do it.
No. I think if we're talking about 12 games to win, we're talking about the entire season shaking out quite differently for a few different teams. But equally, I think there's plenty of teams for whom it's all up in the air, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, even the pundits have no idea what this Cardinals team are going to do, because, like, you see former Cardinals reporter Kyle Odegaard putting, like, I think he had 7 and I think it was like, yeah, I think he went for 7-10. But then you look at ESPN and they're like some sort of statistic model they have had the Cardinals go 30-4.
Yeah, such a wide margin. And I definitely think they're one of the unknowns of the year.
I mean, that could be a good thing, though, really, because it's like, what are the Cardinals going to do? Like, no one knows what to prepare for. Could that be them heading to, well, obviously not heading to Arizona for the Super Bowl because they are Arizona? So can they be like the third team in a row to win the Super Bowl in their backyard?
Yeah. Well, they've had a couple chances at it already, but, you know, it could happen.
Well, it's one of those things as well. It's like the bookies don't really think they have much of a chance because they're like 30, 33 to 1, that sort of price range. But what the bookies know?
Yeah, well, the bookies lost a lot of money the year Leicester won the Premier League as well, right? These things happen.
I think, you know, the equivalent in NFL would be if like the Jaguars won it or something.
I don't think it's quite as bad as Jaguars, but yeah, it's definitely like somebody like that. The Commanders, maybe. Well, speaking of trying to predict how well the Cardinals do this year, this is usually where we would talk a little bit more about our game preview for the week, where the Cardinals in the 9:25 slot on Sunday play against Kansas City, because we love to start the season off with an easy game, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those. I think I've seen as well statistic that Kansas City have gone seven week one games in a row without losing.
I'm not surprised, to be honest. I mean, even before they kind of had their current superstars on the roster, they were still a very good team.
I mean, they've been well coached, haven't they? They've had like Andy Reid. Remember when he was going to be our head coach, but that never materialized.
Yeah. No, indeed. But I don't know what to say about that. I think we don't need to go into too much detail because this podcast has gone on long enough already. But put it this way, I don't think I'm heading into week one optimistic of coming out with a winning record straight away.
I mean, it's a tough one. Obviously, Kansas City, they've lost guys like Tyreek Hill, haven't they?
They have.
But they've still got Patrick Mahomes as like the best quarterback in the league. They've got Travis Kelce, the best tight end in the league. I mean, you've got a lot of new wide receivers, so it may take time for them to like get up to speed with Patrick Mahomes.
That being said, you know, I think Patrick Mahomes can make the job of being a wide receiver quite easy.
Oh yeah, he just chucks it up there, doesn't he? And it's like, you go chase after it.
Yeah, pretty
just
much.
Just run.
It's
run
like
that
the
way.
The ball's going to be here at this time. Just run to that location and you'll be okay. But yeah, I don't know. I think I think KC is a formidable opponent, and away from home as well. To some degree, I wonder if the way that you coach this is you almost treat it as another preseason game, and you go in and you say, right, go do your best. If you lose, it's no big deal. We've got the rest of the season to make it up. If you win, pizzas all round.
I can't imagine Cliff Kingsbury going out like that, even if that is. I mean, obviously, one of the big talking points going into this game, again, I think it's every year we play Kansas City, it's like, Cliff Kingsbury was his head coach at college. It's like, yes, we know that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, right. Well, that happens every time they play anybody who Cliff Kingsbury ever coached or spoke to or anything like that ever. It's almost as bad as, did you know that Larry Fitzgerald was the ball boy in Minnesota? You know, it's one of those big talking points, but that really actually mean nothing when you get into the game.
I tell you what, speaking of Larry Fitzgerald, just because we can, I always hate seeing that statistic. It's like, oh, he's had more career tackles and drops. It's like, yeah, I think I've heard that like for 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some statistics that need to be retired.
Unlike Larry, who doesn't retire.
Yeah, who's technically still not retired. Maybe that's what we need, you know, to be fair, you tend to hear it less when he shows up. But yeah, I think that definitely Cliff Kingsbury was Patrick Mahomes' coach. That can be done because Andy Reid's been his coach for longer than Cliff Kingsbury ever was now anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he won an MVP under Andy Reid and he never won anything under Cliff Kingsbury. But then again, he was Cliff Kingsbury. I remember.
Exactly.
He's so bad. He's such a terrible head coach at everything he does.
Dreadful. Everyone always says so.
And yet here he is, you know, getting another extension. Oh, I saw should bring that off as well. I saw someone on Twitter who's always, he seems to have, like, he's got an in for Cliff Kingsbury, some national media guy. He says that this is going to be Cliff Kingsbury's last year as Cardinals head coach, which, after, you know, signing a 5-year extension, seems very dumb.
Yeah, I can't imagine that he would be up for any kind of job insecurity after signing a 5-year contract. But hey, maybe the national media knows more than we do.
Well, he's still, like, try to pretend that he do. But...
yeah, I'm sure. It makes a good story. For some reason, people have it in for him, and I don't quite understand why. But
it's because he's not qualified for the job. Remember, he was terrible.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was
terrible at Texas Tech.
He was a college coach at one time. Therefore, he can never be an NFL coach. But,
no, it's not that. It's just because he never won at Texas Tech, did he? They never won, like, a national championship. But then again,
yeah.
Who doesn't if they're not named Alabama?
I was going to say, so every NFL head coach should come from Alabama then. Got it.
Pretty much. That's how it should be. That's how the purists would have it.
Right. Well, I think that we have gone off topic for long enough, and we've gone on for an hour and a half in our season preview podcast once again.
And we haven't even done everything on the podcast that we usually do either.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, where are the Pick'ems at?
Well, Pick'ems might return for next week, I think, potentially, now that the website's back, even though it's plastered in betting advertisements.
Cheers, NFL UK.
Yeah. But for now, I guess all that's left to say is that normal service will resume next week, when we will be back to break down our game one against Kansas City and provide some proper coverage about the next upcoming game.
We can't go yet though, because we haven't done a prediction for this game.
Oh, that's very true. Yeah, what are you going to go for since you bring it up?
Yeah, I'll say it's going to be a high scoring game. We'll have it going 38-35 to Arizona.
Ooh, okay. Well, I'm going to go much lower scoring, and I'm also going to go for an Arizona loss. I'm going to go for 24-14 to Kansas City.
Once again, these are just numbers we pick out of thin air. It's like there's no logic whatsoever to them.
To be fair, they're usually possible numbers in the NFL scoring system.
Yeah, obviously keep them out to a multiple of 7 or like 3, and, you know, jobs are good.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, I suppose that will do it for this season opening episode of the British Birdland Breakdown, otherwise known as episode 142. So as always, if you're not following us on Twitter, which you should be by now, we've been here long enough. If you're not following us on Twitter, you should be following us at British Bird Gang. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/British Bird Gang. And join the group at facebook.com/groups/British Bird Gang. By British Bird Gang at britishbirdgang.tmil.com. And of course, if you like what you listen to on the podcast, then leave us a review wherever it is you get your podcasts from. Send in any questions, anything like that, you know.
Yeah, mailbag is definitely happy to make a return should you want to write in and tell us what you've got on your mind.
The thing is, like, obviously Cardinals related and safe to broadcast because, you
know. yeah. I mean, although I would quite enjoy answering like an agony aunt style question one week. That would be good fun.
We'll put it out there, see if anyone will put anything.
Yeah.
But as always, thanks for listening to the podcast, and we'll see you again next week for another episode.
See you next week, guys. And if you made it to the end, thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.